Welcome back to another Jackrabbit Illustrated podcast brought to you by our title sponsor, the Kubota Dealers of South Dakota. Whether it's tractors, mowers, utility vehicles, construction, or farm equipment, Kubota's got you covered. Now with 9 locations across the state of South Dakota, there's always a dealer nearby. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Jackrabbit podcasts are also sponsored by Culver's of Brookings in Watertown, the home of the Butterburger, Jackrabbit Central, the best place to get your Jacks gear, and the best sports bar in South Dakota, Cubby Sports Bar and Grill. Without further ado, here is the A-Team.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Jackrabbit Illustrated podcast. Me and Chad here tonight. Dallas is celebrating a birthday. So,
yeah, happy birthday, Dallas. Without you, you know, we're going to be a little more off the rails because I tend to drag Matt down.
Oh, yeah. All right.
All right. Yeah. Are we going to start there? Do we just want to?
What do I got on my face? What's going on here?
What's on your face?
I don't know. What? Pen?
I'm going to share a screen here.
Oh, shoot. All right. We'll just deal with it here. So, oh, gosh.
So I can't let everybody have all the fun on the other podcast.
Oh, boy. Is that an actual picture of Ben making the first design?
It might be. I asked AI to draw what they thought Ben's AI slide looked like. This is what it came up with.
A child with a crayon. There we go. 100%.
So, you know, had some fun. You know, got to have it's got 33. You know, I told it 22. I don't know how it gets things wrong, but
yeah.
You know, there's another picture of Isaiah, maybe.
SDS Slew. Oh, that's good. I like that one.
Yeah.
There we go.
So that's all we got. Just nice. Thought we'd have a little fun too.
Well, good. Well, we had a ton of fun yesterday. That was
fun.
Yeah. That your tailgating spot, you guys, was insane again. So yeah, just everyone near the library lot. That is so cool.
We raised $221 for Alex's lemonade stand. We put it all on Brian Williams because he's our top guy. For those of you that don't know what Alex's lemonade stand is, it's a deal that raises money for the fight against childhood cancer and FCS Nation Radio, Stone Labanowitz and Kevin Marshall. They're working with Northwestern Mutual on that, and they have certain players picks. We have 3 guys on there. It's Brian Williams, Mark, and Quentin Hicks. But since Brian was leading, we just took him as our guy because we want our guy to win. And he was, by the end of the tailgate, he was already ahead before I put the money in. So now he's leading Aiden Bauman because we don't want that guy to win. So
yeah,
you guys go on, check out Google FCS fans, FCS Nation Radio. And check that out.
There we go. All right, we gotta address the elephant in the room here. Love the fathead. Thank you, Darren. So, Brendan, Chad, and Ben. For those of you that don't know and haven't been to the tailgating area, they like to try to embarrass me or get me going just once a year. First year it was a hoodie for me, a Podfather hoodie, which was very nice. It's a nice, beautiful, warm hoodie. Has my face on it. I'm not going to wear a hoodie in public often, with my face on it. Last year it was a flag that they flew above their tailgating spot and that they hung up at Cowboy Jack's. Maybe you saw it there. People were taking pictures with it, you weirdos. Now this year it's a fat head. And to answer Jim, or to go with Jim Poppin's question, I mean, if you're not on Twitter, you didn't see it. The Argus leader had a picture of it with Brendan holding it up in the air saying an SDSU fan holds a head of an SDSU player in it. So what position do I play? I don't know. Water boy, bench warmer.
And guard tackle.
Yeah, right. And guard tackle. Yep. So I feel good that the photographer or whoever captioned the photos thought that I looked young enough still to be a college age student. So thanks for that.
So you're definitely a walk on, Matt. No offense, but
oh yeah.
you're probably not getting any of that NIL money either.
No. So yeah, tailgating was awesome. I mean, everyone that was there again, God, it's just become so cool. Sometimes I miss the Wild West days of the backyard when I was a student. But then you look around and see how much it's grown and just the energy that's around the stadium beforehand. Like, how can you not be excited walking around and seeing all of the setups from all the way up for the 14 bypass, the gravel lot, the backyard, all the way down to the library and all around the stadium. So it's just really, really, really cool.
Coming soon to our store, Nathan.
Bylander. Don't encourage him.
He wants to buy some Podfather merch. Who doesn't?
Yeah. The other thing with tailgating, just we've talked about this a little bit, but just how UPD has maybe even shifted in the last year and a half compared to what we were at the start of last year, the 2022 season. They're patrolling, they're doing fine, but they're not being invasive. They're not looking for problems. It's just an awesome, awesome game day. And everyone that comes says, hey, we should go back again. So,
yeah, I had family there and they're like, do you guys do this every weekend? And I was like, well, every weekend we have a home game. And my aunt, she's like, this is a lot of work. And I was like, oh, it's a lot of fun, you know? And she's like, oh, no, it definitely is. I would like to mention that we've had a rant before on the porta potties not being enough because of Hobo Day. We had a couple extra porta potties at our spot. So awesome. Somebody's getting the word out when we talk about things. And to that end, I know it was in your rants and raves, but they had all the concessions open.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to give them kudos to making sure that went smoothly down on the visiting section and down by where we sit. So,
yep. Same, you know, the gates this year too, like it's been just smooth getting people in and out. Honestly, like it feels like all the feedback we've given has been at least considered. And I appreciate that. If there's reasons we can't do certain things, cool. I get it. But man, I just appreciate that, that our rants are considered at least. So,
yeah, it is great. I just wish they'd figure out the leaving. That's my last thing to complain about. Yeah. I shouldn't have to drive all the way through Brookings. And I literally got to 8th and Madera, and the cop says, you better go right down towards the bowling alley because you're not, like, it's a mess all the way to the interstate. So I ended up driving all the way down Main Avenue. Yeah. You know, so not ideal. I think people that want to go north out of the library lot should be able to go north. If that means they got to get another portable stoplight for out on the highway bypass, then I guess that's probably what they should do. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think there's a stoplight there, you know.
Yeah. That stoplight has out of the backyard has made leaving the backyard so easy now.
So why don't they just push everybody that wants to go north out of the backyard to the stoplight?
They do. And then you can only go north out of the backyard. You can't go south. They have it blocked off.
Okay, well then they take everybody that's in that intermediate lot in between us behind the stadium and make them go south to go north, which makes sense, I guess, but we can't go north with them. And cell phone service was much improved. Scott Rust, good point. I did not have any issues. So,
yeah. Let's talk about this. This is a good question. So Seth, I love like this roster building stuff. Next year we have Gus back, obviously, at center. Evan Berenson, it sounds like, is coming back for another year at right guard. Quentin Christensen is stepping in at left guard, it sounds like. And then, you know, and we've seen Kobe Christensen at tackle. We've seen Dawson Rudd at tackle. Both those guys, really high ceilings, I think, very athletic. And then the freshman, sounds like Papke is having a nice fall. Yep. And then
related to me.
Yeah. And then Kenyon Bigbo, right, is very highly regarded recruit. So see how he's developing too. I don't know. So those are the guys I'd be predicting. Jalen Lee has looked good when he's gotten in the games at guard as well. He's an absolute mauler. So yeah, that's where I'm at with the O-line. But Gus and Berenson are back. Quentin Christensen's going to step in, it sure sounds like. And then the tackles will to be determined, but Kobe Christensen, Dawson Rudd, that's who I'm predicting right now.
Yeah, and Zach Larson had a similar question earlier. I was just waiting to get to it. So thanks, guys, for the great questions.
Yeah.
So about the game.
maybe we should
talk about football.
Yeah. Like, well, we've been talking about football. Yeah.
Well, football-related things.
Yeah. Honestly, like, leaving it, we won by 17 points, right, over the Bison.
It didn't feel like it.
And it still felt like, man, we could have done a little more. Like, it just and someone commented on that. Like, you know, in my description on Twitter, I said it's too hard to be angry about a win like this or something along those lines. And he goes, "Who's angry?" And I said, "Well, no one's mad," I think is what it was. No one's mad. But at the same time, doesn't it feel like we left some points on the board? We settled for a lot of field goals. Bison right. put up a lot of yards. What do you think, Chad?
I mean, if you ask Brendan, we argued about going for it on 4th and 5 for 3/4 of the game. So obviously he's a better coach than me and said kicking it was the right call. And obviously he's right. But he was claiming I was like that one coach down in the South. He wasn't for Campbell. I can't remember where he's at, but you know, he went for it on every 4th down.
Yeah.
Through all the time. He says, that's the kind of coach you'd be. I'm like, I know you're talking about all gas, no brakes. Not exactly, but yeah, I thought at that one point in time, I thought we could have maybe tried to sneak it in, but you know, we made the right call, get the points, take the points, and yeah, I mean, field goals still count. Two of them's worth the same as a touchdown. You don't get the extra point, but at the end of the day, you win by one, you win by 20. It doesn't make a difference.
Yep.
All that matters is the W.
Yep.
Presbyterian. Thanks, Marshall.
Yeah. And Garrett's right here. NDSU is not a bad team, right? They're not their usual team, but they're still a very, very good FCS team that would win a majority of their games if they played every team in the FCS.
And they have some absolute studs, right?
Yeah.
Wisniewski, Mostert. I mean, those guys are playing on anybody's roster. And by all accounts, probably all Americans. They're great. They're good dudes. So
yeah. Wisniewski's a very good player. And on the offensive side of the ball, offensive line is still huge. Still moves really well. You know, I'm so curious about their running backs right now, because NDSU for so long now has been known to have really good backs. And I thought that Tomerik and TK were going to be those guys this year, and they're just not. They just don't have it. I don't know.
They seem to go down on first contact. Like that's what I see from them, because they were hitting the holes well. You know, they had looked like pretty good vision, although it did seem like they ran, I don't know, they've always run a lot of dive plays, but it still felt like they ran less outside the tackles than they would in years past. I guess maybe that's weird to say, but I felt like they didn't have those swing, you know, the pitches and so forth that they always used to get us on a third down. So, yeah, I like Jim Poppin's point here. You know, he said the tackling was not our best effort. You know, Brendan brought that up in our thread. And, you know, I did count like 8 missed tackles in the first quarter. That's pretty uncharacteristic of our defense. And I think that was a factor of why it felt so terrible and why they did so well. You know, because we were getting hats on them, but we just weren't, you know, getting the tackles.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take there?
Yeah, it just, I mean, that's what I wrote, right? In Rants and Raves, we don't keep track of broken tackles, at least publicly. But geez, Cam Miller, broke a ton of tackles, and there was a lot of times we could have had him for a negative play to a 1 or 2 yard gain, and he turned it into 8, 9 or longer. Like, he just, he's a powerful kid. He's a strong kid. He's old. We know that. Or an older player, right? He's one of the fifth years or whatever he is. You know what I'm saying. But he just he broke a lot of tackles. Like, and it was weird because some of them were some of our best tackling guys. Jason Freeman missed him a couple times.
Yep.
One of our safeties got trucked. So yeah, it was just, you know, it just was a weird game. Tackling, Jimmy talked about that right away in post game. Tackling has to be better. And then when you see some of the plays and the replay and stuff, yeah, tackling must be better, especially this next week with Youngstown. We'll talk about them in a bit.
We finally did improve on our penalties, though. I felt like the Tucker Large penalty on the end on the side was technically the right call, right? Yep. But if you don't call that, I think that's okay too. You know, he was still going through the motion. He drug the guy down. Did he whip him? Not really, but you know, I suppose by definition, and Alex can chime in, I'm sure according to rule books, that's a penalty, but I didn't like it at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Jamal's with us. Tackling's been off. Too much diving and not enough wrapping up. Yep.
Yeah.
Again, Freeman admitted he missed a handful of tackles. Charlene Carpenter's letting us know. Have to do better. Absolutely. Let's go to Nicole Warner's. Why was Cole Payton not used? So this is a great question. Trying to figure out why Cole Payton is not playing. And we wonder if we don't get to know anything behind the scenes, in the meeting rooms, on the practice field, anything like that. But it just feels off. Something's off there that he's not playing meaningful snaps at all. And it makes you wonder, you know, with Cam already saying he's coming back, Cole Payton going to hit the portal. You know, there's people at Nebraska begging for them to go out and get him, bring him back home, they're saying. So that'll be interesting because it sounded like at the start of the year, there's going to be much more of a timeshare, and it certainly isn't. So you got to wonder about playbook. You got to wonder about practice habits. I don't know. It's just very, very odd. So weird. 100% agree, Nicole.
I'd like to touch on this one here if I could. Husker Power 1541 wants to talk about why we haven't been using the tight ends lately. And I've been slightly critical a little bit, you know, especially in the USD game, but I did watch a little closer on the rewatch today, and it does look like Mark's going through his reads quite fast, and that's not a terrible thing, right? That's a good thing for a quarterback. But there was a couple times where 87 was covered, I think, at the point that he was looking at him, and then the next person open, like the one end zone throw he had down in front of us. He got open a little later, Zach did, but he threw it in the back to Yankee out of the back of the end zone because Yankee was more open at the second. So, like, he looked at 87. Hines was covered at that second. He looked at Yankee. He looked like he was open, threw it, and then by the time he made that decision, you know, Hines was open. However, you know, so I think that's a part of it. I don't think that we're actively not trying to get him the ball. We're maybe not designing plays specifically for him, but it does seem to me like part of it is that Mark's going through the reads, and at the point where he's at the tight end in his read, he might be covered because I think he's getting covered a little better by these defenses because they know what a weapon he is. Just my take.
Yep. And you look at it, and Mark only had 7 incompletions yesterday too, right?
Right.
So, you know, and a couple of them were swing passes that were dropped or poor passes, you know, the one breakup, obviously the Griffin Wilde in the end zone, that very well could have been a touchdown. So you just think about, you know, there's not a ton of opportunities because we're running the ball so well, we're just efficient on offense. And yeah, I'd love to give Zach the ball too, or get Zach the ball, figure out ways, especially in the red zone. I mean, I don't like kicking all these field goals. It's great that we have Hunter, you know, to do that, but man, I'd like to be more efficient in the red zone and get touchdowns instead of field goals. So
it seems when you got a guy that tall that you could just throw it up, because that happened once against us with Zach Mathis, right?
Yeah,
and that guy's so tall, and he had Freeman on him or Stoffel. Freeman read that play pretty well. He was about a half step behind him, but part of that's just a height disadvantage.
Yeah.
For Freeman's not tall, and certainly not compared to that guy, who is tall by all means.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I like this question from XD here. What did you guys think of the video they put on Twitter today of them walking in the tunnel with the blue lights? I thought it was cool. I liked it.
Yeah.
One of my favorite comments, though, is like when you get kicked out of the nine at 1 a.m. or whatever it is or something like that.
Walking into the nine. Yeah.
It reminded me, because you're walking out of like these bright flashing lights and into the sunlight. It reminded me of like leaving the nine or the lantern during pub crawl, like when you're in there during the day and it's still black and, you know, the lights and everything. And then you walk out and it's like, whoa, the sun's out. Why is that there?
I think that comment was in our thread because, you know, your lantern comment reminded me of something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Shoot. The big crowd, Jim Poppin talks about the crowd here. 19,431, largest crowd to witness a sporting event in either Dakota. Yeah, I thought the crowd was great. The crowd was into it. I was a little surprised to see people flood into the exits so soon. I figured the small amount of green in the stands would be, but
I think it's a part. I think it's an issue with getting out of the stadium. If they think we're going to be winning by the end, they're trying to get out early. My wife tried to leave shortly after halftime and had problems getting out of town. It took her over 20 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. She third quarter, I guess she was leaving. Yeah. She had all sorts of problems because she had to come back home to do an indoor concert, and good thing she had some buffer time. Otherwise she would have been late.
Yeah. Yeah. We left with about 5-6 minutes to go. Kids were getting antsy. Wife was getting antsy. So yeah, it was time to go. Will Dews held on that pass. Interesting. I have to go back and watch that. I mean, it was a heck of a play by Wisniewski, regardless.
Yeah. Like
the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, he was perfect on the ball.
What else? Ben chimed in and says 100% an issue with leaving the parking lot. Everyone's scarred. They have PTSD from leaving the Montana State game.
Yeah.
I did notice the cops were like telling people to dump out beers afterwards. I get it. Yeah. I do. But at the same time, doesn't matter. I don't know. Here's what I would like to say further about tailgating. I know it's kind of off topics at this point, but we're almost to the point where we probably don't need to wristband people, and I'm fine with doing what they're doing because, you know, people get wristbands and then they don't need them in the stadium, but like, so yeah, they've been cool about it. You know, I think it's pretty
it saves
cool.
time in the stadium. Yeah,
it saves time in the stadium. Yeah, exactly. Anyway,
yeah. So, and I agree, more time to listen to the Tyler Merriam post-game show. Good point.
Yeah.
That's where, though, I would like for us at some point in the future to have a post-game show, like, after, like, but not at 11 o'clock at night. So, the storyboard here. So, yeah, we'll think about that in the future. Tyler's phenomenal. That post-game show is really good. It's nice that they look around the valley. Look around the FCS. It's definitely different than how it used to be. And I think that's a great way to grow the fan base's knowledge of FCS football for sure.
Corey Caraway is 100% right. Swing passes were on point this game. They weren't predictable. Dude, number three ran with the ball excellently on the one. So, yep, you're 100% right, bud. The swing passes, you know, they were great.
Hey, all right. Fans calling in. That's what it'd be. It'd be like a fan line. So
that sounds dangerous.
It sounds dangerous, but
don't let the B team run it.
No, you guys are in no condition to run a fan call-in show. So all right. All right. Yes, Jim. The post-game show between Brennan and Borg probably got you almost all the way home, I bet.
I think they probably did get him all the way home. They went almost 2 hours, right? Like 1:59?
Yeah, it cracked me up. If you guys listen to it at like an hour and 6 minutes, Borg's like, all right, it's getting pretty late. It might be time to kind of start wrapping up here. And then they went 52 minutes longer after that. So, Yeah. They went till 1 a.m.
I forgot it was daylight savings time today. I woke up and I was like, why is it so bright out? My wife's like, oh my God, I'm late for church. And I'm like, that's not what my phone says. Yeah, oh, daylight savings time. I'm like, oh, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway. Hey, let's talk about Hunter Dustman really quick.
Yeah.
But before I talk about Hunter, just want to talk about the Kubota dealers of South Dakota, 8 locations, soon to be 9. And you know,
it is nine now.
They're at nine. Oh, it is 9. So 9.
It is 9.
They can get you the implements that you need for your tractors. I got an email the other day that there's a pretty good discount right now on attachments and things like that. They're doing a sale. So I'm looking at getting a tiller potentially. So excited for that.
Carl's getting some accessories.
So but just get a hold of these Kubota dealers in South Dakota there, and they'll get you the tractor, the UTV, the skid steer, whatever it is that you may need for your acreage, farm, whatever it may be, business. And they'll hook you up. So thank you for your sponsorship, guys. Hunter Dustman, man, what a good game. All those kicks were so confidently kicked. The first extra point, which was bobbled, and he still kicked it off the ground, and it was barely went in. But how good was that? Because we felt momentum shift right after we blocked that first NDSU extra point. That was an awesome kind of momentum bubble burster, I guess, for them. And then we almost had the same thing happen. It could have been 6-6, but Hunter still found a way to get that first one in. The punt game, limiting Jaden Price, that was awesome because he's a great returner. The only gripe for special teams, I guess, is the one kickoff return that was pretty long. But Tucker Large hustled his butt off to get down there and slow him up. So
yeah, and he took an excellent angle. What's his name? The play by player, the color guy for Midco was pointing out, Kurt Riggs. Yeah. Yeah, he took a great angle, and because he did, even though he kind of missed and wasn't able to tackle him, he slowed him up enough that the guys got to bring him down from behind. I don't know from your vantage if you could hear, but I believe it was Ryan Van Marl that blocked that extra point.
Yeah.
And holy cow, did it slap. And he got up and he was holding his hand. Oh man, I don't know if he hit the point of the ball or what, but that had to hurt. So.
What is that now? Like 6 or 7 for his career that he's blocked?
Something like that. So that's pretty
cool. Man, that's awesome. All right. Let's get into game balls because I want to talk about Youngstown for a while tonight, and then we can look around the valley again. So on the game balls, Chad, on offense, you predicted Isaiah Davis. I picked Amar. And Dallas, GF Dub. So
yep.
I think on that one, you were probably the closest. I guess wrap-up for Rants and Raves, I went with Jaden.
Jaden or Mark could have got it too, I guess. But yeah.
Yeah. All right. On defense, you said Beanham. I said Tucker Large. Dallas said Stallbird. So
Beanham had a good game.
Yeah. Stallbird had a pick, didn't he? You know, he had a tackle for loss. He had a good game too. Him and Jason are playing so well right now. You know, with Bach not being 100%, like I know we talked about Jason missing some tackles, but man, our linebackers,
a dude,
Graham Spaulding too, making that pick with the club. Like, it sounds like Dayton's going to be. I saw him warming up at least, and he jogged down to the field. I don't think he played, so McGoy's going to be getting back here soon. Francel, we saw out there, so. We're getting our depth back at linebacker, and that's good. So, who'd I go on defense? I forget. I went with Jason Freeman. Yeah.
Bach's
been back.
Most of the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think he's maybe just a touch slower than he was before because he was just wicked fast, and now he's just really fast. I don't know how else to say that, but like he's still excellent. Maybe just a touch slower. I don't know. Maybe he's hesitating because maybe he doesn't feel
right. Next year. We don't know Carter next year. I honestly, I would lean towards him coming back because he's missed so much time, and he's probably wants to establish a good season before going in to the draft. I don't know. Oh, so our game balls presented by Jackrabbit Central. My mom was down for the game yesterday and went over to Jackrabbit Central and stocked up on the kids' Christmas presents. So now is the time to be doing that kind of stuff because Touchdown Tuesday is going to be happening this Tuesday. It's not going to be a full discount, the full 25 or whatever, but it's still going to be a nice discount. So either go online where you can still use or you still get the discount for Touchdown Tuesday. Stop onto the university, the student union location, or go downtown. Or in 2 weeks, you still have the stadium store that you can stop in for likely the last time this year. So please support Jackrabbit Central, and it's the best Jack's gear out there. So why wouldn't you?
Yeah, and if anyone's wondering, they don't allow them to have the stadium store open during the playoffs. So that's why, likely the last time. I did drive by Jack Central downtown. That looks amazing from the road. I can't imagine what it looks like inside. Have to check that out sometime soon. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Cool. All right. Okay, one last NDSU thought before we move on. So for me, folks, it's not necessarily, if I was Matt Larson, their athletic director, it wouldn't be the wins and losses this year that concern me. Like, you know, 6-3, they're still a great team. They're still just fine. It would honestly be the apathy from their fans that would be concerning at this point. I don't know if they've sold out the Fargo Dome this year. Maybe they have once. But I can't believe how few Bison fans were in Brookings yesterday. Like, I wrote this in Rants and Raves, but I'll say that in most marker games, the crowd is probably 25% green. I think that's since this Division I Dakota Marker series, I think that's probably fair. Maybe a little less, maybe 20%, but it's right in there. There was maybe 5% there yesterday. There were so few Bison fans that it was like when you saw one, it was noticeable because it was like, oh, there's one of those green people. I don't know. It just was weird. It was weird.
Yeah, even in our section, which is the visitor section, it seemed like there wasn't nearly the amount of Bison fan. And I don't know. Our section actually seemed less than full, which made me kind of scratch my head a little bit on the number. Yeah, there was far less of them. They were much more friendly than normal, too. So
that's true.
A little humble pie, I guess, goes a long way.
Yeah. I don't know. I just if I was Matt Larson, that's the thing that would bother me the most is that people stop caring about the program up there. And I don't know if that's they're bored. I don't know if that's we're not FBS. I don't know if that's because they keep getting told that they're not a good team. I don't know. It was just weird. Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, that's my last thing I want to say about NDSU, but yeah. Let's move on to Youngstown. And I'm sure we have some Youngstown fans tuning in. You guys do a great job on your Twitter spaces, later in the week. Those are fun to listen back to and learn a little bit more about your guys' program. So, today and kind of this year, I've gotten to watch Youngstown a couple times. You watched them before the USD game, just to scout that game to see what they did. Oh, there's the handoff. Hey, Sam. And today I watched Indiana State and Missouri State, their last couple of games. And this team is just it's really interesting. Their offense can cook. Mitch Davidson's playing well. An awesome trio of receivers and Bryce Oliver, Tom Zach, and then a Charleston, who missed last year with a Achilles or ACL, one of the two. He's a fun player. Tom Zach, they're going to put him in motion a lot to try to confuse us. And it's going to be really like pre-snap, kind of like the Dolphins do with Tyreek Hill. I'm very interested on this offense. Chad, what have you seen from them?
Well, I had kind of a weird question that's going to take us a little off the rails, but do you remember who the quarterback was for the Green Bay Packers in 1991?
Yeah, Mikowski.
No.
Or was it Tomczak?
It was. It was Tomczak.
Really? I wonder if they're related.
He started seven. So they almost have to be because Tomczak's actually one of their assistant coaches. And if you would oblige me, I got a fun little story that got told to me about Mike Tomczak from Deb Gronowski.
All right, let's hear it.
Apparently, Mark in his freshman year approached Tomczak like before one of the games and said, "Hey, I think you played with my dad." And the guy kind of like shrugged it off or whatever. Well, a few weeks later, Mark gets called in to like the coaches, one of the coaches' offices, and it's like, we need to talk to you. And so he comes in and they're like, "What's this?" Like, he had a letter from Tomczak sent to him personally, because Tomczak thought about it, remembered playing versus Ray. And then, you know, I guess Tomczak reached out to him. They were afraid he was trying to steal him or something.
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
Yeah. And ever since then, Tomczak's kind of followed Mark and, you know, was kind of propping him up, saying, you know, good luck with the rehab when he got hurt. And so kind of a cool thing. And then sent some more stuff, because the stuff he sent, he actually sent for Ray, you know, it's like pictures Got it. And stuff. Got yeah. It. So anyway, kind of funny, you know, because he ended up playing, I think, for the Bears too. So that yep. awful team from Illinois.
Yep. hey, so we are Youngstown providing a little more info here.
Oh, sorry.
So YSU, very solid offense, decent rush defense, major struggles in pass defense, as you can see in the stats. Relatively solid special teams, very bad with penalties. One thing that I will say about Youngstown, and this is something that we noticed in the spring season when we first kind of got introduced to Doug Phillips, is this team plays incredibly hard. He has really, it seems like, embraced like that grittiness and tenacity. Sorry, Chad, I'm That's done hard. Clicking. From the Rust Belt over there. And gosh, he has these guys playing hard. You watch their games and they want to smack people, at the line of scrimmage. They want to dominate at the line of scrimmage. So this is going to be just a really, really interesting game. And the one thing that I have in the back of my mind here, right, is, as I said this to Chad pregame, this reminds me a little bit of like Missouri State last year, where it was Missouri State saying like, "Oh, this is the biggest game. Like this is the biggest game in the last 20 years, yada, yada, yada." You know, we heard that all before. And I think we're hearing some of that from Youngstown already. But the one caveat is they missed the playoffs last year when they were 7-4, the first Valley team in forever to miss the playoffs at 7-4. And it was because they didn't have a marquee win. This would be their marquee win. Absolutely. So they're going to be up. They don't want that feeling last year of getting left out. So we're going to have to be ready because this team is going to be fired up, ready to go. And they play hard. I just can't emphasize that enough, how hard this team plays.
Yeah, I mean, and they got a pretty good couple of quarterbacks that they can run the ball and throw the ball both, as they've shown. And so, you know, that keeps you honest on the defense and makes it a little tougher to play when you got them quarterbacks that can run the ball. I mean, I don't think they run primarily, but they seem to run enough to keep you honest.
Yeah, no, Davidson is athletic, able to get out. One thing, they have really good tackles on offense. I do think we'll be able to dent the interior of their offensive line a little bit. Jared DePriest could make a difference with his pass rush on the interior there. That's something I'm kind of looking at because their tackles are good. I don't think our ends are going to beat their tackles on pass rush, and it's going to be important to contain Davidson and our D tackles if they can really, you know, they can make a difference. So Indiana State was having some luck getting to Davidson and getting pressure on him. It just, they weren't able to get home all the time. So,
right. And, you know, I kind of mentioned pregame that I didn't think this was our defensive line's best showing this last week. So it'd be nice to have them maybe prove me wrong and get home a couple times. Because,
yep,
you know, that game against NDSU is a much different game if we don't get those turnovers.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were getting a good push on our defensive line, you know, 2 to 3 yards every run play. They did pretty well against the pass. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Youngstown State, man, we can't let this be the traditional trap game that everybody talks about. I mean, I do believe in our guys, but they got a quality program there. They've got a really good team, and we best not overlook them.
Yeah. Hey, and Alex brings up here, Rushton and King are nice backs. They're fun. The King's another fun story, right? Tyshawn King. They had such good luck diving down the Division II level, grabbing an All-American. They decided to do it again. King's from Northern Michigan, and you know, just a really good player, good pass catcher out of the backfield, kind of an all-around back. So that's something to watch. Another thing that they did like crazy against both Missouri State, Indiana State, was the quick little bubble screens.
Yep.
Or just like not even bubble screens, just
tunnel screens.
Yeah, tunnel screens. A lot of swing passes right to King.
Yeah, they did. And yeah, he gets a lot of yards that way.
And so yeah, like I think they do it right so that you can't just sit back. They'll 7-8 yards you to death down the field on these passes. They ran them 3-4 times in a row. Sometimes it looked like, and then they take the shot play to Oliver, or Charleston, whoever it is on the other end. So. Yeah, it's a really interesting offense that is going to test this defense in a way that they haven't been tested in a while. It is a true spread passing attack like this that can also run the ball, like Alex says. So,
speaking of which, have you heard anything about the return of our hurt?
Yeah, I'm intrigued if Stephen RL is going to be ready to go this week. He looked good. Saw him jogging. He'd be huge in a game like this.
Yes.
Right. Where they're trying to throw these quick little passes, the wide receivers, get him up right in the face, and him and Daishan and feast off those plays, smacking people. So we'll see. This is going to be I'm so intrigued by this game. Defensively, this defensive line is nasty for Youngstown. They are some big boys. They're deep. They rotate. I know we said you and I was maybe the best defensive line that this team's going to face this year. I personally think it's Youngstown just because of their depth. Dylan Woodkey is a true difference maker at defensive end. And then they have this, the D tackle, Chris Fitzgerald, number 9, a defensive tackle that wears 9. Looks pretty funny out there. Numbers
we were talking about. Yeah.
But that defensive line, you got to watch. If the Jacks are going to have success on offense, I think Mark's going to have a huge game, personally. Their secondary is suspect. They've given up a lot of points. So we'll see.
Not that he hasn't already, but is this the breakout game for GFW? You know, I mean, because I could see if they're defending the passes where they're weak, yep. That dude, tough to slow down.
Yep. And we'll see. It's going to be a big game for the 605 Hogs, because if they get any pressure on Mark, you know, you don't know. So, yeah. Oh, man. What else? What else, folks? Any other comments about Youngstown State? We Are Youngstown says starting center Aiden Parker's missed the past 2 weeks. Maybe that's why when I watched those last two games, look a little soft in the interior. So, yeah, interesting. All right, Chad, let's do some predictions. We'll get Dallas to phone his in later. All right, offense. Do you want to do offense, Chad? Offense play of the game?
Yeah, I think, man, I'd love to see Hines get the ball a bunch, honestly, because as you pointed out, much like the Missouri State game last year, that's where he had his huge game last year. That'd be wicked. However, I think I want to go with Jaden. I think I'm going to go with Jaden. I mean, you could pick Mark at that same level, but, you know, I'm going to go with Jaden. Even if it's not stat-based, the Yankees both block so well.
Yeah.
they add so much to the run that's like by the casual observer probably not even noticed. They sure. They make a big difference in the run. So
yeah. Okay. Our predictions here is sponsored by Cubby's Sports Bar and Grill. Sorry, Chad, you have Culver's. We'll do Culver's here. Sponsored by Culver's of Brookings and Watertown. For butter burgers, for concrete mixtures, for curd burgers, whatever it is, onion rings if you're Chad. Is it cheese?
No, yeah, onion rings. Yeah, love onion, onion rings.
Yeah, perfect. There we go. And root beer. Myself there. The root beer. I personally like, I do like their spicy buffalo
tenders.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, those I used good. To love those, but yeah. I tell you, I found out that at that point in my life, I could no longer eat that kind of spicy food.
Yeah. I'm taking Mark on offense, Chad. I'm taking okay. Mark.
You're taking I said Mark.
That. I think he's, I'm going to make another prediction on this. I think he's passing for over 300 yards in this one.
Ooh, well, that's a spicy meatball.
That's my spicy meatball pick. There we go.
As Brendan would say, Jim yeah. Poppin's got Griffin Wilde.
All right.
Oh, Scott Russ says he thinks Jim should be the guest picker since Dallas is out.
All right. So, and Dallas would pick GFW. He picked him last week.
I think
week,
he would
so.
Too. I 100% yeah. think he would.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Let us know on who you're taking on defense, Jim, for Dallas.
Ben just says, I am so old. These are facts. I don't know how to respond to that. Right. I mean, Dallas is within a year old. Within a year of me now that he had a birthday, but Corey Caraway wants Hines on defense. It's between Trevier and Van Marl for me. I think I'm gonna go Trevier because Van Marl had a day against NDSU, so I think it's Trevier's chance to shine again. So I'm gonna go okay. with Kid. Is that who you're gonna pick?
No, not at all. I think their tackles are good. I don't think our ends are going to touch him. All right. Mitch Davidson has only tossed 3 interceptions this season. But
does that sound familiar? Because the last 2 quarterbacks kind of had those stats, didn't they?
But on Saturday, he's tossing 2 to Dyshawn Gales. 2 Ooh. To Gales.
Ooh.
Yeah. So...
Dyshawn so is Gales getting player. Your okay, okay, okay. Just to be clear.
Yep. No, someone else has 3. No. all right, the law firm. So Spalding. All right.
Dude, if there's somebody else has 3 and he has 2, there's no way we're losing that game.
Okay, right, right. All right. Score prediction, Jim. What do you got?
Jim says, did you catch his pick here for defensive?
Yep.
Okay, yeah.
Yep, Graham Spalding. I like that one. He was close last week. Oh, all right. Chad, on the score here, I do think this is going to be a high scoring game. I think Youngstown is going to get some points on us. I think we're going to get some points on them. I'm going with like a 42-31 type of game.
Gosh, darn it. That was like within a, oh man, now I got to rethink. You go, I'm going to go 43. It's a weird score and 27.
43-27. Ooh, Jamal's saying 42-14.
Go, Jamal. I love having Jamal on here, man.
Yeah. Darren, Isaiah and Bach, 34-17. Jim, where you at, man?
Marshall thinks 34-17 us.
Okay.
51-34, Jim. Oh, my goodness.
All right. That's Dallas's
picks.
Time for
the Butterburger.
Yeah. Wants that 50 Butterburger. Yeah.
And all right. I think you can get a burger at Cubby Sports Bar and Grill if you don't get a butter burger. You could also catch a burger down at Cubby's. Great place to catch the game since we're away, right? Mm-hmm. If you're near Brookings, they got a great game atmosphere, great drinks, great food. Visit Cubby's in downtown Brookings.
Yeah. I love it. All right, I'm getting some heat here on this. Ben says, you think we'll give up that many points, Matt? I do. This Youngstown offense is good. I don't know how else to put that. Like, I don't know. The Indiana State game, it looks like they slept walk through, which a lot of folks do against Indiana State. But again, the Sycamores.
Sycamored themselves?
Just they sycamored themselves. They have a way of just uglying up games. I don't know. They're just – they're an interesting offense and so many weapons. Like, this is going to be a true test that we haven't seen, in my opinion. Their receivers, like I said, Oliver Tomczak and Charleston are better than you and I's receivers, in my opinion. Bryce Oliver's legit. He's a very, very good player. I haven't seen him, I guess, in a couple of years, but I'm really impressed with what I've seen from him the two games I've watched today. So,
Bruce Oliver's pretty good, too.
I'll know Oliver Bruce is what you said. Bruce. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Valley games from this weekend. Like we've been doing.
Well, should we talk about the fact that USD snuck out another win at the last second? I mean, gosh,
at the goal line,
they've had three games that they have. And you know, that's what a good team wins those games. So give them credit for that. But eventually, that's going to bite them, and it might be in the playoffs. I'm just sad to see that they might get seeded. That's about all I have to say about it.
Yeah. Chad's saying there they won 14-7. Sounds like Southern Illinois drove the ball down the field, had it at the 2-yard line, and then the Youngs tipped a pass. The Yotes tripped a pass, and what's his face? Their big nose guard intercepted it. So that's how the game ended, right? I think. Could be wrong there.
Defense travels, so good for them.
Yeah, right. And we know that. The defense is okay. So we made them look bad, but we do have a tendency to do that to defenses. So Youngstown over Indiana State, like we mentioned, 19-7. Again, that was just kind of a weird game. Indiana State had chances to score. Youngstown had chances to score. I don't know. Wasn't there. No, I'm not trying to get in the hype video. This is a good offense. I legitimately believe that their offense is really good. Being respectful. Davidson's a good quarterback, and their offensive line is good. And we don't get a consistent pass rush. I don't know.
Oliver, Charleston, and Tomczak are some legit wide receivers. We're going to have to play our butts off on the back end.
Yeah. Yep. So, all right, North Dakota took care of Murray State, 45-31. North Dakota's broken. I don't know how the committee's going to look at some of these recent results. And just they're getting wins, but, man, they're ugly. 31 points to Murray State's a lot. So, Northern Iowa took care of Western, 50-6.
No surprise there.
Yeah, Theo Day went bananas again. And really, he didn't actually. How'd they do this? What? I haven't even seen. I just looked now. Have you seen his stat line?
No, I did not see the stat line. I just saw the score. I didn't look in the box score.
What the heck? He went 12 of 16, 201 yards and 2 TDs. What?
Kevin, I hate to say I disagree with you, sir. It won't be the first or the last time, I'm sure, but I don't know. USD is a better team than you might think. And I don't know.
Jamal and Ben, you guys. Jamal's saying you have too much faith in their offense. So Southern Illinois had a good defense. We saw that. Yep. And they put up 31 points against Southern Illinois. Like,
did we put up 31 points against Southern Illinois? I don't remember.
We did not. No.
Nope. That's what I was saying.
Yeah. So, I mean, folks, this is a good offense. I don't know. And I could be entirely wrong, and that's fine. I'd be happy to be wrong. But they look really good. So, all right, in the final Valley game, Illinois State squeaked out a win. Controversial win.
Yes.
36-35 over Missouri State. They went for two, and the Winker's right, I think. Kind of bobbled it as he went into the end zone. They ruled it a touchdown. So, or a good.
I watched that about five times, and he kind of had control, brought it across the line, then bobbled it. So,
yeah,
I can see why they called it the way they did. I don't disagree based on the goal line rule. I was talking to Brendan about that during the game. I was like, they should treat out of bounds and the goal line the same. Like, yep. Just getting the nose of the ball over, that shouldn't be a touchdown. It just shouldn't be anymore. Change the game. You got to actually have possession of it when you're in the end zone, like to the ground, so to speak. So yeah. I don't know. It's just a little too easy to score a touchdown just by putting the ball over.
Right. Yeah, opinion. Sure.
So
fair enough. Some of these results from the Big Sky, you know, or upcoming games in the Big Sky are huge. Montana State for the Brawl is going to be bonkers. It feels like, Chad, I don't know if you got to watch much of it last night. Sac State just feels like they're kind of imploding.
Yeah. Right, I think so. They jumped the shark and they're no longer the team that they were three, four games ago.
Yeah. It just, the lack of composure too. Like, I realize, you know, it's Montana. But man, they were chippy and chirpy. And I don't know, did you see, both teams got an unsportsmanlike conduct. There was kind of a guy got pushed. The kick returner got pushed into the bench area in Montana, the Montana returner. And the SAC player that did it kind of got jumped by a bunch of Montana players, and SAC players came onto the field. And anyways, they gave unsportsmanlike conduct penalties to everyone on both teams.
To both benches,
to basically? Both benches, yeah. And so Every player was carrying an unsportsmanlike already.
Oh, and really? That's how they did it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah, that's what the announcers were saying too. Like, is this legit? And then Sac's leading receiver, there was 4 seconds left on the clock, and the clock was running, but he was frustrated with how the half went and took his helmet off and slammed it on the ground.
And got kicked out of the game.
And got kicked out.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was just nuts. So Sac, I don't know, just lack of discipline. I don't know. It was not a good look for them last night. And Montana did look pretty good. So that's going to be a fun game to watch, the Brawl of the Wild game, for sure.
Who do people think are going to win the Brawl? Like, who do you think is going to win the Brawl? At this point, I'm kind of leaning towards Montana. I'm sure Kevin will have an opinion.
Since
he's a Montana fan.
Yeah, right.
Closet Montana fan.
Yeah. Montana State. I still like Montana State. I don't get why they're not letting Chambers play. Is he hurt or what? It just doesn't make a ton of sense.
I think they're better with Chambers as quarterback, just like Montana switching their quarterback and getting better. It seems obvious. Kevin Marshall writes in that he thinks the Cats are going to win. Steve Anderson agrees. Maybe that's it's all a ploy just to lead to this game, and then they play with Chambers the whole game.
Yeah. You
know? Bring Tommy in sparingly as a change of pace. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. And then you look at the CAA, and that's kind of a mess with Delaware losing. So,
yep.
We talked about Delaware at tailgating, right? And that, you know, is a top four team. Because I am of the belief that the FCS is just down this year, in my personal opinion. Brendan believes that there is a lot of parity, a lot of good teams. If it wasn't for us, it'd be a really exciting playoff race this year. And I still think it'll be exciting. But he brought up Delaware as an example of someone that could be. But we've smacked Delaware the last two times we've played them, and it's been an embarrassment for them. So I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in anyone out of the CAA right now.
Yeah, I think Kyler was crying in his beer after Delaware lost last night. So
yeah. Yeah, they were, and Jamie, they were both pretty high on Delaware in their last show. Ooh, good question from Nico here. Do you think 7 teams from the MVFC get in? I don't think so.
No.
I think that NDSU game is likely going to be a play-in game. SIU, if they lose to NDSU, their only good win will be against SEMO. And SEMO was ranked at the time, but I don't think they are anymore. So that's going to be interesting.
Does NDSU get in if SIU is their only good win?
It's going to be interesting. I think SDSU, USD are locks at this point. Yeah. But then, man, Illinois State kind of has eliminated themselves. But NDSU, SIU, UND, I mean, UND right now, they go to Vermillion this week to play. So that's a huge game. I'm really interested in that one. I think UND, if they lose this week, they're out probably too, because they don't have a quality win besides NDSU. And yeah.
And that's a rivalry game. So you kind of discount that a little bit, right?
Yeah, right. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. That's a good question. And
NDSU is not going to get left out. I think they're in. I think they're going to win their games and they're in.
Really? I don't know if they win in the Uni Dome. We know that's a tough place to play, and you and I, that's their season. If they win, they're in, I think.
If there's a year that they get caught in a game that they should win, it's probably this year at the Uni Dome. I guess that's kind of been their, I mean, if they've lost games, they probably should have won. I mean, look, they ran out of time with USD and they ran out of time with UND. I mean, they probably should have won those games if they would have played just a little bit better early on. I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, Dimez, who's he cheer for again? Is he a Montana fan? I forget.
He's a Montana State guy.
Montana State guy. MVFC Kool-Aid party tonight. So the Big Sky is going to get four teams, right? Unless SAC continues to lose, and then they'll get three teams. Yeah, but you're not getting any more than that.
Yeah, and how is that going to end up if Montana loses to Montana State? I don't know. It's weird because Montana State, there was a Montana State fan in our crowd walking out last night, and I was like, hey, you guys shouldn't have lost that game. You know, way to screw it up by losing, you know. Yeah. Just saying, they should have won that game, and then it'd be easy. They'd be the two seed, you know.
Yeah, here we are. Who else? All right, so we've talked about Youngstown. I mean, if Youngstown loses to us, but they'll beat Murray, they have that win, but their only quality win is SIU, so they'll be that 7-4 weird bubble again. Oh, man.
I think they're left out at that point.
Yeah,
if they beat us, they'll get in.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I mean, it's a play-in game for them, not for us. But
yep, so that's what I'm saying. Like, Youngstown's going to take this game incredibly serious. I 100% like that's
agreed.
Yeah, I don't understand folks discounting their offense. And I mean, it's the 11 a.m. kickoff is weird.
Weird for us. Yeah.
For us, I don't know. It's going to be a dogfight, folks. So I hope we're ready. Hopefully, if it is a close game, people don't like jump off the edge like, what's happening? So
yeah, trying to warn you. At this point, the only thing, as somebody was talking about it, the only thing, I think maybe Ben was, the only thing they got, the Bison have, is the quality losses thing, you know, the thing we used to kind of like, well, hey, we only lost to them by 6 points or whatever. But
yep,
I don't know.
Yep. All right, thanks everyone for joining us tonight. This has been fun. Yeah, lots of good questions, lots of good comments. You're the best. Grads time. You're right, Jim. So as always, we have a ton of content coming out this week. Tomorrow, the Know Your Foe. Wednesday, the Alex's computer, BCS, whatever it is.
CCS. FCCS?
Yeah.
CCS.
Yeah. And then Thursday, the Valley computer again. Why can't I think of the name right now? The Valley by the Numbers.
Yeah.
And then Friday is the What to Watch, which we have a ton of fun with. So then B Team tomorrow
and
the Scared Money Don't Make Money on Wednesday, right? Wednesday. Yep. So we'll see if we do anything extra too. Oh yeah.
Hey, shout out to the women's soccer team for winning the Summit League. Heck yeah. Thanks for bringing that up, David. We all liked that and shared it. We love all of our sports at SDSU. And we love our band and all these things.
Oh, speaking of other sports, how cool was that to have Blake Trinan finally back in Brookings?
Yeah, that's cool.
Along with Caleb Dillabar. So that was cool to have both of them.
Is there such a thing as a pitch off? We should have them do that. See who's better.
They both have filthy stuff, so
that'd I be know kind of fun. Do. Would be fun.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, that'd be great. Give them away to the student section.
Ben?
Ben asked, I can't wait for the mini father, pod father, fatheads to get distributed for the next home game.
We're docking your pay again, Ben. So,
what do you think we're using to pay for this, man?
Yeah, right?
Company funds.
Oh, gosh. All right. Thanks again, everyone. Like, share, subscribe. Appreciate all the interactions. And with that, go big, go blue, go Jacks.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. We would also like to once again thank our sponsors, the Kubota Dealers of South Dakota, Culver's of Brookings and Watertown, Jackrabbit Central, and Colby Sports Bar and Grill. And as always, go Jacks.